Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. The fallout from the lawsuit filed by independent gubernatorial candidate Tim Cahill continues to spill out into the governor's race. Cahill filed the suit to prevent his former campaign aides from sharing strategy and other secret information with his Republican rival Charlie Baker. Yesterday, a state court judge ordered Cahill's former aides to disclose by Monday whether or not they've provided information to Baker's campaign. And new details in the story keep emerging. The latest chapter has to do with emails released yesterday by the Cahill aides who deserted him. Those emails suggest that Cahill's campaign tried to influence an advertising campaign by the state treasury in a way that would benefit Cahill's run for governor. And here to explain this increasingly complicated story is WBUR reporter Anthony Brooks.
Hi, Sasha. Anthony. How are you?
I'm good. So there are obviously a lot of moving parts here. Things are changing day by day. It gets complicated very quickly for people who aren't paying close attention. Could we do a quick recap about what's happened in the last few weeks in the Cahill campaign? And why don't you start off by telling us about the departure of the campaign aides as a refresher?
Okay, good idea. It is an incredibly complicated story. So 3 weeks ago, as many listeners will recall, two of Cahill's aides, John Weaver, his national strategist, and Adam Meldrum, that's his campaign manager, left the campaign. They said Cahill couldn't win, and so they deserted him. They walked out. A week later, Cahill's lieutenant governor candidate, Paul Lascoco, also dropped out and endorsed one of his opponents, Republican Charlie Baker. So last week, Cahill filed a lawsuit against his former campaign staffers, accusing them of conspiring to give the Baker campaign important information about his campaign. And as you mentioned yesterday, in a hearing on Cahill's lawsuit, some of these new emails were released from Adam Meldrum, which indicate that that Cahill campaign aides wanted to ensure that the Treasury launched an ad campaign about the state's very successful lottery, which Cahill oversees. So this becomes a potentially big and controversial allegation against Cahill himself and his campaign.
So Cahill sues his aides because he says these ex-aides are trying to sabotage his campaign.
Right.
Now his aides say the only reason you sued us is because we were going to be whistleblowers and say that your campaign was doing illegal things. The latest development has to do with these accusations by Cahill's former aides that Cahill's campaign was doing something illegal.
That's right.
Now, and the key thing here is to note that Tim Cahill is the state treasurer, and that's a factor in this because the allegations involve the state treasury.
That's right. Cahill oversees the lottery, and it would be illegal for him to use taxpayer dollars, that's treasury dollars, to benefit his campaign. State law forbids public employees from using their position or public dollars to further their political careers. So what Meldrum is saying, what these folks are saying, is pretty serious.
You have read through most, probably all, of the emails that have been publicly released. What do they show?
Well, it shows that Cahill's campaign aides, including Adam Meldrum, by the way, were exchanging emails about the campaign for the state lottery. Here's an example from Dane Strother, a campaign advisor to Adam Meldrum. He writes, quote, "How do we get the lottery ads rolling?" Question mark. And later in the email chain, an answer comes from Scott Campbell, another campaign aide, quote, "I'll check with the lottery people." So it's pretty clear that they were figuring out how to get these ads up on the state lottery in a way to benefit Tim Cahill.
So these ads would say the lottery's great, Tim Cahill's great, and then ads that aren't part of the Cahill campaign would actually benefit Tim Cahill.
That's the idea.
You caught up with Cahill this morning to ask him about the lawsuit and these emails released yesterday. What did he say?
Yeah, this morning he basically said three things. First, he blamed his former campaign manager, Adam Meldrum, who he is suing and says isn't credible and reputable. Second, he said as far as he knows, business between the lottery and his campaign is completely separate. And third, he said he can't control what folks within these organizations might or might not have said. So let's listen.
My focus has been on both, and that's what I have to do. My teams are separate. And my teams are focused, the Treasury team is focused on Treasury, and the campaign team is focused on the campaign. And what internal people talk about is not something I can unfortunately can control. but it doesn't cross over.
So Cahill is basically saying, I can't control what my staff says. I can't always know what my staff does. Is there any evidence in the emails you've read that suggest otherwise, that Cahill might actually have known what his staff was talking about?
As I've looked through the emails, I have to say I have not found, there is no smoking gun that implicates Cahill. Clearly his staff was talking and emailing about the lottery, but none of the emails that I've seen suggest that Cahill was in the know or was even being consulted. It's also interesting to note that the former campaign manager, Adam Meldrum, who released the emails and is alleging that the Cahill campaign was involved in this bad stuff, was in fact involved in this bad stuff.
So he's now accusing the campaign of doing things that he had been previously involved in doing, according to what the emails suggest.
Right, and what better source of malfeasance than someone who is taking part of them in the malfeasance? So that's the way I read those. One of the ways I look at those emails. We should also mention that the Attorney General has taken note of the allegations being leveled here. The office says they haven't received a formal complaint, but they are investigating and they will be contacting the people involved. So we'll see what comes of that.
Meanwhile, the actual election is coming in just a few weeks, but this story is it's really overshadowing in a way the issues involved with the race.
Absolutely. It's sucking a lot of oxygen out of the governor's debate. It's also affecting, we think, the polls. There's a new poll out from Suffolk University today, and one of the striking pieces of information, 80% of voters are aware of Cahill's lawsuit, so it's definitely on people's minds. But the news isn't necessarily great for Cahill. He's polling at 10%, which is down, according to Suffolk, while his opponents, Deval Patrick and Charlie Baker, are at 46-39, respectively.
So that poll that came out from Suffolk shows a big lead by Patrick. Of course, we have a lot of somewhat conflicting polls lately. The Globe recently did a poll showing Patrick and Charlie Baker neck and neck. Although, if you go back to the poll previously done by Suffolk a few weeks ago, that showed Patrick ahead, and the new Suffolk poll shows Patrick ahead. So there still seems to be a gap, at least according to Suffolk.
Right. And Cahill's numbers are down, as we mentioned, so it's certainly not helping him. And he's still saying, by the way, that he's in this race to stay. And he said this morning, and let's listen to this, as this weird story demonstrates, anything can happen.
There's a lot that can happen in the last 2 weeks. There's a lot that's happened in the last 2 weeks of this campaign, meaning the 2 weeks prior. Who would have predicted that my running mate would have turned his back on me and embraced Charlie Baker?
And one more thing, Sasha. This story really is pulling an awful lot of energy out from the real issues here. I mean, here we are talking about this 2.5 weeks before the election, talking about this story, Cahill and this tale of political corruption, is front page news, rather than the issues that really matter to voters. You know, those silly issues like jobs, education, taxes, so on.
And I have a feeling we're not done talking with it now in the next few weeks. Anthony Brooks, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up after a short break, we'll hear from young people about the challenges of growing up gay, even in a place like Massachusetts, the first state to legalize same-sex marriage.
I've seen the bullying, but I've also seen people step up and say, you know, accept people, there's tolerance.
Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.